This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. There are more than a million confirmed COVID-19 cases in the United States alone. Scientists and doctors around the world are working to come up with not only a vaccine, but also treatment options that can help patients with severe symptoms. You've sent us a lot of questions on this topic, and to help us answer some of them, we're joined now by Dr. Jeremy Faust, an emergency physician at Brigham and Young Women's Brigham and Women's Hospital. He's also an instructor at Harvard Medical School. Welcome, Dr. Faust. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
There are two drugs that have been in the news a lot, and listeners are asking about both of them. Let's take them one at a time. First, remdesivir is an antiviral drug that has showed some promise. Preliminary results from a study sponsored by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases suggest that this drug could help hospitalized patients with COVID-19 recover faster. Dr. Faust, what can you tell us about this drug?
This drug is supposed to block viral particles from reproducing, and anecdotes from people giving this drug out were somewhat promising, but anecdotes are one thing. Trials coming out are showing us something different. The Lancet Journal actually released a major trial yesterday and really found nothing. Meanwhile, Dr. Fauci announced results from this NIH study, although we haven't seen it, that seemed to suggest that there was a quicker recovery time. But the unfortunate part was that they had initially been looking for a mortality benefit, and they had seemed to abandon that as their primary goal.
Mortality benefit meaning fewer people dying from the disease if you give them this drug.
That's correct.
All right. Well, let's go to this question we have from Rachel in Pennsylvania. She's asking about remdesivir.
Gilead has secured orphan status for their medication remdesivir. This was a great hope for treatment. The orphan status can block a generic form of the drug, keeping costs high. Though we all paid through taxes for the research and development of this medication, Gilead is slated to make billions. We were told treatment would not be reserved only for the wealthy and or insured. Does this move mean that the drug remdesivir will become unavailable for some?
Dr. Faust, help us understand what this question is about. Orphan status, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, the FDA can give the status, orphan status, if there's a condition that is affecting fewer than 200,000 Americans. And the idea is that they want drug companies to be able to recuperate investments on drugs that may not actually have a big market. Makes a lot of sense. I was talking about
Like this one would have a really big market. I mean, if in fact it is effective at treating COVID-19.
Well, when we started, we didn't think this would be we didn't think there'd be a million cases, did we? But now certainly it's not an orphan compound, orphan disease. It's all over the place. And I was talking to a colleague, Dr. Kimi Chernovy, about this. Kimi Chernovy, and she's actually the health policy editor of Brief19.com, which we co-founded to answer questions like this. And she's a doctor and a lawyer. And Dr. Chernovy was reminding me that basically that drug companies often use this to have this prolonged market exclusivity, but actually out of the highest 10 grossing drugs of 2018 have that status. So it kind of gets used in different ways.
I mean, is Rachel's concern founded that Gilead could make a lot of money off of this and it might be unavailable to a lot of people who need it?
Well, right now, all the care is being covered by the government and the insurance companies because of the emergency we have. The question is, who's going to pay for that? It's going to either be that insurance companies are going to just raise their premiums to pay for it later, or or the government's going to bail out the companies, which, of course, just gets passed on to the taxpayer. So it's really unclear.
All right. Well, let's shift from remdesivir to the other drug we've heard a lot about. This is a malaria medication. President Trump often talks about it. It's called hydroxychloroquine. And here's a question about it from Paul in Dallas, Texas.
I heard that there was a big shortage of hydroxychloroquine, and it was due to overprescription by prescribers who could write prescriptions who had no diagnostic reason for prescribing it. It was as though they were hoarding it. I'd like to know how we find out about who these people were, because they obviously are doing this for some other reason besides health purposes.
Dr. Faust, what do we know about people overprescribing or hoarding this drug, hydroxychloroquine?
Yeah, as of late March, there is a national shortage of this drug, and we have drug shortages as a problem in this country for many years. In fact, there's literally an app for this. The FDA, you can actually track if a drug you take is now in shortage. And it's frustrating because this shouldn't be happening. This drug is shown to help patients with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, but we have not seen any evidence that it helps COVID patients despite what the administration was suggesting. And it's just a really important example of why there are consequences of non-physicians kind of doling out medical opinions is in the public sphere where people might listen to it. And, of course, it can cause side effects, but also, in this case, denying medications to those who need it.
Hmm. All right. Well, if you have a medical question for Dr. Jeremy Faust, send it to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or on Twitter. You can use the hashtag NPRConversation. And our next question comes from Judith in Greenbelt, Maryland.
Why can people not be given shots of gamma globulin to help protect them from being infected by the coronavirus or to help them have a milder case if they do get infected? So is gamma globulin not effective against that virus? I remember there was a measles outbreak in the late 1950s. My parents took me to the doctor for a shot of gamma globulin, and I did not catch the measles. So I'm just wondering why we couldn't use gamma globulin against coronavirus.
Dr. Faust, I'm not familiar with gamma globulin. What is it?
They are proteins that our immune system makes, and we can also give them as medications as well. And basically, antibodies are a type of gamma globulin, and they're used as immune boosters in the truest sense. We can actually boost the body's immune response on a cellular level, and especially for things where you might have received like a gamma globulin booster for something you're already vaccinated for. So down the road, it might be possible. We just don't have anything right now that's specific for coronavirus.
All gamma globulins are created equal. They depend on the disease they're trying to treat.
Right. So it can work for different diseases, and you can get more specific in terms of making things that are really targeted. Example is using like convalescent plasma. This is taking blood from people who recovered from a virus and giving it to new people. That was tried with Ebola, didn't work, and we're hoping it's going to work here, but we don't really know yet.
All right. Our next question comes from Paul in Vandenberg Village, California.
Given the recent research showing the role of vitamin D in immune health, how might widespread vitamin D deficiency be exacerbating the COVID-19 pandemic? Could the fact that dark-skinned people are less efficient at converting sunlight into vitamin D partly explain the vulnerability of dark-skinned people to COVID-19?
Dr. Faust, I've heard about widespread vitamin D deficiencies. Could that have anything to do with the reaction to COVID-19?
I think there's a lot of controversy on just how large of a effect size that might have. I think we don't know. I think in this situation, it's more likely that the reason that, for example, Black Americans have had disproportionately poor outcomes so far is that really health outcomes depend more on your zip code than your genetic code. And that's what we call social determinants of health. We know that this is what drives responses. So people who come from poorer backgrounds, they might not have a primary care doctor, so they have uncontrolled high blood pressure or diabetes that hasn't been diagnosed. And those are the things that we're seeing over and over again are correlated with people having worse responses to this virus. So I'd probably tend to say that the reason we're seeing that in minority communities and poor communities really has more to do with their social situation and structural problems that we need to address than a vitamin D issue per se.
Dr. Jeremy Faust, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
He's an emergency physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital and an instructor at Harvard Medical School. He's also editor-in-chief of Brief 19, a daily roundup of COVID-19 research and policy written by doctors and for the general public. You're listening to The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.